This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, unfortunately, Fred is out this week. We're never happy about having a team member out, but he's doing some vacation down in Florida. He even sent Sue and I some pictures. Looks like he's having fun. He'll be back next Monday. I'm heading out of here at 6 o'clock. We had former Senator Lamping on the show earlier talking some politics, and the Make Missouri Pro-Life Again event with Laura Trump in town is tonight. It's put on by Missouri Right to Life. I know that my colleague Mark Cox will be there as well, so I'm looking forward to heading out there after the show. Tomorrow on the show, our friend George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet, Bill O'Reilly coming up on Wednesday. I'm guessing Bill has another book out because that's usually when we get Bill on the air. John Ziegler is here, co-host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. I bet you have opinions about Bill O'Reilly, none of which are maybe popular. How are you, John?
I'm all right. I actually was a guest on his show in studio back in the height of the Fox News Channel days, and I've been on a lot of television shows. I mean, The View, The Today Show with Matt Lauer in primetime, but that was an interesting experience because back in those days, it was like an audience with the Pope. I mean,
yeah,
that's literally what
yeah.
It felt like. It felt like an audience with the Pope.
I never know exactly. I get along with Bill okay, but sometimes I get crabby, you know, Bill. So it's not always consistent, although people might say that about me, too.
I get the same complaint.
Yes, John, we have that in common, don't we? Before we get into some stuff here, I have to talk about one of your tweets because this is quite stark when you look at the visuals here. So I just got off with our great sports contributor from KSDK here in St. Louis, Frank Cusimano. We were talking some NFL football. I'm a huge fan. You know that. We were talking about the Matt Prater angle, but you said, and you put this picture up, did you know, because Matt Prater is 41. He's the guy that kicked the winning field goal for the Bills last night. Did you know that Tom Brady is 48, which is the same age George Blanda was when he retired in 1976 as the oldest player in NFL history? But you put pictures side by side. You have George Blanda, who I remember when I was a kid, and Tom Brady. And George Blanda looks like he's like 80. He doesn't look like he's 48, right?
And Tom Brady looks like he's 32.
Yes, exactly. Wow.
No, I love that tweet. I'm glad you enjoyed it because the picture of Blanda, and by the way, they're both the same age in the picture, 48 years old, really tells you an awful lot about where we are in this day and age. I said it to a female friend of mine who's a former television anchor woman who also looks very young for her age, and she said, well, the thing is that both Brady and I are taking PEDs for pushing back aging. And then she suggested Blanda might have been on steroids. I said, I don't think he was on steroids. I think he was on cigarettes.
Yeah, that's probably true. Back then, for sure. That's amazing. Yeah, we've changed. You know, these guys, it's so funny because they all have, you know, chefs and nutritionists and all these people. I mean, I wish I had some of that. But these guys in the 70s and even in the 80s and 90s, they didn't have anywhere near any of this stuff.
No, it is amazing. And people have done lots of pictorials about, if you look back at like the Golden Girls or Archie Bunker, those shows, and how old those actors were, we think of them as ancient, and they weren't really that old at the time. So I guess things are in some ways getting a little bit better, at least when it comes to how we look at certain ages. But I'd like to think so.
As someone who's entered into the era that begins with a six, are you there? You're not there yet in the sixes?
I'm close.
Oh, man.
I'm all too close.
I don't like
all
it.
All too close.
Don't like it at all. All right, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and I didn't spend a lot of time on this last week, but I find this interesting. It's a little in the weeds and as a bit of a, you know, undercurrent in the media right now. But, John, you do a podcast called The Death of Journalism. I am a big fan of Barry Weiss and what she's done at the Free Press. It looks as if maybe the keys to the CBS newsroom might be handed over to Barry Weiss. They're going to acquire the Free Press and maybe give her some editorial leadership. What do you make of all this? It seems like it's more than a rumor, right?
Yeah, well, it is apparently not official yet. And I'm always very skeptical of anything that gets reported when it's on the one-yard line, especially something as shocking as this would be within media circles, because to me, anything this shocking generally has to happen before it gets put out there as a trial balloon, because if it's a trial balloon, someone's going to try to shoot it down.
Yeah.
And that there are people at CBS News who definitely want to shoot this down, and I'm wondering whether or not that's why it got leaked before it was a done deal. So I'm not 1,000% sure it's going to happen, but it certainly looks as if it's going to happen. It's been reported as if it's essentially a done deal. And, you know, congratulations to Barry Weiss, because, I mean, this is the most successful liberal media firing, other than maybe Shane Gillis from Saturday Night Live, that I could possibly think of. I mean, she was tossed out of the New York Times a few years ago. It looked like her career might be over. She changed her branding. You know, she's a liberal, like almost everybody else that works for the New York Times, but she's a rational, common sense liberal who was willing to go against the conventional wisdom on COVID. I'm sure that's where she caught your attention. I know that's where she caught mine. And you know, she went on Bill Maher's show, and she was the first member of the liberal media establishment to really stand up and say, what the hell are we doing here? And I think she got a lot of street cred among moderates and maybe conservatives because of that. And now we're living in this world where Paramount is clearly afraid of being seen as too far to the left, other than South Park, which apparently is allowed to do whatever they want.
For $1.5 billion, by the way.
Right.
Secured the rights there.
Stephen Colbert is getting fired, and 60 Minutes, you know, is settling with Donald Trump, and you know, they're under attack for what has been an extreme left wing bias for decades. This would be a fascinating hire if it happens. I'm amazed at the valuations. Are you as stunned as I am that apparently they were going to buy the Free Press for $100 to $200 million in this environment? How could the Free Press possibly be worth that
much? They don't even really have many. They have trouble with ads, so it's paid subscription. Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me when they're throwing around numbers like that. You know, so some of this may not eventually come together. But look, if something like that would happen, that would be a potentially transformational media story of enormous proportions, right? Enormous proportions.
Huge, except for the fact that we may be living in a world where none of this really matters that much anymore. But if you have not accepted that reality, and I'm not 100% sure we're, you know, totally there yet, where ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN don't matter at all. I still think they matter some. They clearly, from the 2024 election results, don't matter as much as they used to. That's for damn sure. But to the extent that the mainstream legacy news media still matters, this really would be massive, because this is someone who, first of all, while she's a liberal, she's clearly not a liberal by woke standards, and she's willing to go up against convention. And she's not afraid. I mean, she just did a great interview with Comey Barrett from the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, she's not afraid of engaging with the right, respecting the right, and it's really about as mainstream down the road kind of media personality as you can possibly imagine in this day and age, which is really difficult to do in the age of Trump. So while she's not perfect, I think it would be a great choice for CBS. I'm just confused by the valuations, and I'm a little bit hesitant about the fact whether or not this might be a trial balloon for someone to, some of the liberals within CBS News to shoot it down, because they will be terrified if in fact this happens.
I would be shocked if it does happen, just because it's such a big potential transformation. So we'll have to see. But look, they're not afraid to go after Trump at the Free Press. It's a little bit of a different model because they don't have daily reporting like a lot of the other sites. I mean, sometimes they do, but there's stories that sit up there on the website in prominent positions for, you know, sometimes several days or a week. They just don't have the staff that a lot of folks have. But the reporting that I've seen, that I've highlighted on the show on a regular basis, is pretty darn thorough and fair. And they go in areas of journalism, John, that, you know, you criticize this on the podcast all the time, that a lot of these legacy media outlets just won't even touch.
Partially because the business model doesn't provide any incentive structure for it, which is why I'm dubious about the valuations of the Free Press. The reality is, and we've seen this with the News Nation television network, which has tried really hard, sometimes very successfully, of being down the middle. Being down the middle in any era of fragmentation, but especially in the Trump era, is almost impossible from a financial standpoint. Because you're going to piss off half your audience in almost anything you do. I mean, because the only people that are consuming news at an extraordinary clip, an extreme clip that will keep an outlet like that in business, already have a strong opinion. Otherwise, they wouldn't be news junkies. And so the number of people like me who is, you know, trying to call balls and strikes on Trump and doesn't care whether or not they offend anybody is, you know, you can put it in a phone
minuscule,
booth.
Yes.
Minuscule. Right. I mean, they don't exist in the media landscape, and certainly not a viable economic model. And so, you know, if they were all to do it, you know, if ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN were all to do it, then I think there would be significance in that, because we would get back to some semblance of rationality instead of having left the gravitational pull of the rational earth, which we did a long time ago, I believe, and may probably never get back to that.
John Ziegler is with us this afternoon. He is the co-host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. A couple other topics I'm very curious about your opinion on. I never got caught up in, and I'm not trying to be insensitive to actual people who were abused sexually in the Jeffrey Epstein situation, but it was never one of those things where I'm clamoring for the release of the report and I'm doing this. And I've been a little confused by some of the MAGA attention on this. Where is that story right now? And what's going on with all this, John?
Well, Mark, I'm about to tell you and your listeners something they probably have not heard from anywhere else, because nobody has the self-interest to actually tell the truth of what transpired here. And I'm going to try to cut this down as quickly as I possibly can, because I'm sure you don't have that much time. Jeffrey Epstein was a serial sexual abuser. A lot of his victims were hired workers. That doesn't mitigate it. That's just a reality of the context of the situation. I believe with 100% certainty he killed himself in prison because he knew he was guilty and his life of luxury was over. In the aftermath of that event and people creating this mythology that he was murdered in a federal prison with no suspect for who did it, which is an absolute impossibility and would require one of the largest, most nonsensical conspiracies I've ever heard of in my life, spanning two different presidential administrations, and a third now with Trump and a different attorney general. Because it was misperceived that he was murdered, this opened the floodgates for a narrative that is both nonsensical and not backed up by evidence. But it resulted in the conviction of Ghislaine Maxwell in a trial that I think was an abomination from a due process perspective. She got completely railroaded. I don't know if she was guilty or not, but she was not. Her conviction was an embarrassment to our judicial system. I don't believe Prince Andrew was ever guilty of what he was accused of, and the royal family paid off that accuser. That accuser, no one will tell you in the media, has massive massive credibility problems. She made an allegation against Alan Dershowitz on multiple occasions that she had to retract because it was a total fabrication. Her credibility problems were enormous even before she lied about getting in a bus accident and then killed herself a couple of weeks later. And she is a huge part of this entire story. Donald Trump is actually right on this. The mass majority of this narrative is a hoax. But the irony is his own supporters have helped create it. And here's the last thing I'll say
on
this.
That's what's crazy about it. Yeah. Yeah. Go
ahead.
Here's
the most important thing from a media angle. This is a story that through a perfect storm of circumstances has an enormous audience in search of facts or a narrative to back up their fairy tale. And when they didn't get it, when the second Trump administration began, they had an absolute fit. They had a temper tantrum. And so now everyone is desperately trying to give these people who got duped into believing this grand conspiracy something to save face on. And it's an absolute embarrassment to every outlet of the news media, almost everyone in politics. And here I am, a Trump critic. And frankly, the only person talking any sense on this story is probably Donald Trump.
Yeah, there's
and
a guy.
He knew Maxwell and he knew Epstein and he understands this case, I think, probably better than anybody else.
There's a guy out there and I don't know him. He was a guest on Thursday because I started seeing some of his stuff online. His name is Michael Tracy. He's got a fair amount of followers.
I interviewed him today.
Yeah.
He's on my podcast later this week.
Yeah, so he was on because his perspective, and I know exactly what you're talking about because he was talking about how these victims have been painted as victims when there's a lot more to the story.
There's a ton more to the story. Some of the people that spoke at that press conference last week have absolutely no business being referred to as victims.
Exactly.
None. And that's, by the way, coming from someone who is willing totally to accept the idea that Epstein was guilty as hell, which is why he killed himself.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for speaking sense. I knew you would on that story. I'm guessing you might have mixed feelings on RFK Jr., just because, look, I think some of his stuff is a little out there. I like the fact that we're focusing on some things that we should be focusing in on. That hearing was just kind of a joke because they're all shouting over one another. But what did you make of that last week?
I had no one to root for. I hated almost everybody in the story. I hate the CDC. I hate the Democrats in the Senate that were grandstanding on behalf of a vaccine that did not work. I don't like RFK Jr. because I think he's a nut job. Here's a guy who was a heroin addict for an extended period of time. His first wife killed herself. He claims that he had his brain eaten by worms. He was totally wrong when he claimed to have knowledge that his uncle and his father were killed by the United States government, which we, you know, the files have been released there. There's absolutely not a shred of evidence or logic to support that. I think he is extreme on the vaccine issue, but I think he's mostly right about COVID.
I know. There again, right? You have to say, but he's right about that stuff.
He gave a tremendous contrarian evaluation of what really transpired during COVID and the COVID panic. And I even tweeted out, boy, I wish there was somebody, anybody else than RFK Jr. that was making this case because of all the baggage that he has. And, you know, is it better that someone is doing it? I mean, I guess so. I wish they could at least be understood and could speak properly. And I wish they didn't have all the other baggage issues I just mentioned, but I guess, you know, something's better than nothing.
John, I might be off on the math, and I think I might have sent you a message about one of these stories, but I'm pretty sure that there were 5 out of the last 7 days where the LA Times on the front page of their website was talking about COVID and even masking up because of a spike. And then if you go down like 8 paragraphs in the story, they finally tell you that the numbers of people in the hospital right now in Los Angeles area, Los Angeles County, is fewer than last summer at this time. And the death numbers are down, but they still are out there 5 years later trying to scare the hell out of people on COVID.
See, I don't think they're trying to, I would like to believe that they're not really trying to scare people. They're trying to save face for what they did. I think that's really what it is. And frankly, I actually think that's a large part of what the vaccines were about. I think liberals just needed the vaccine as an excuse for them to get back to normal because they had crapped their pants for the previous 2 years and didn't want to have to admit that. So it didn't even matter that the vaccines didn't work. The vaccines were an excuse oh, now, you know, Trump's gone and we have a vaccine, so now it's okay to do exactly what we should have been doing all along, which was live life normally. That's my contrarian view of what happened with the vaccine.
Well, I always appreciate your contrarian views. You know that. That's why I'm a fan. John Ziegler, awesome to have you on. I hope all is well. First NFL weekend was pretty entertaining. We'll see where it takes us from there.
Thanks, Mark.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
All right, see you later. You know, we referenced it a little earlier. Dorian Johnson, who literally was the guy who lit the fire on the Mike Brown situation and then gasoline was poured on it by the Post-Dispatch in 2014, was shot and killed himself just about a few blocks away from where this happened with Mike Brown. James Knowles was the one who actually alerted me to this. He is the former mayor of Ferguson. He is a roundtable guest at times, and he's going to join us with some reaction here at the bottom of the hour. So this morning, and I was watching some of this on Fox, they were covering it live, the president delivered remarks to the White House Religious Liberty Commission, and there were a bunch of people in the room, including a bunch of children, because the president wanted to highlight some stories from some kids. Here's some of them here.
Most of our country's history, the Bible was found in every classroom in the nation. Yet in many schools today, students are instead indoctrinated with anti-religious propaganda, and some are even punished for their religious beliefs and very, very strongly punished. It's ridiculous. Joining us this morning is Hannah Allen from Honey Grove, Texas. A few years ago, Hannah organized a group of her classmates to pray for an injured peer. The school principal declared that Hannah's generous act of love was prohibited from taking place in front of the other students. Didn't like it. The principal didn't like it. Can you imagine? But Hannah very strongly stood her ground and she won. And Hannah, I just want to thank you for letting the light of your faith shine for all of those to see. We really appreciate it.
And he made an announcement.
To support students like Hannah, I'm pleased to announce this morning that the Department of Education will soon issue new guidance protecting the right to prayer in our public schools. And it's total protection.
Now, I want to play a story here that one little kid shared, because some of this stuff, now I'm on high alert because I have a 10-year-old. She's in fifth grade. She's in Rockwood. There have really not been a lot of things that have come across homework or, you know, subject material or anything like that that have thrown up red flags. The only thing that really did, and I've told this story before, is that when I was teaching kindergarten with her teacher, when COVID was going on, that first semester, that would have been 5 years ago. The first book that they introduce, all these kids are, you know, when you're in kindergarten, what are you, like 5 years old, right? So they're young. They, I got to look up what this is called, this book. I think it was like Ron's, it was about an astronaut, African-American astronaut. Let me make sure that I, oh yeah, let's see. Ron's Big Adventure. I think that's what it was. I want to make sure I get this right because it is a, yeah. Okay, so like the AI overview, if you do this right now, it says, Ron's Big Adventure refers to an educational book about the history of prejudice and the civil rights movement, specifically in the United States. It's also a name for a field trip taken by students in South Carolina to an important library that the community's namesake, Dr. Ronald McNair, was denied access to due to racial segregation. And he went on, he became an astronaut at NASA. So here we are, and I'm, you know, monitoring this because my daughter's new at all this with computer screens and headphones, and, you know, she's got a teacher that she's really even never met, and, you know, if she was in class, she would have to have a mask on, which happened a month later. But the book is fine. You know, it actually has a great theme of how African Americans were discriminated against and it shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have been allowed. And then this guy went on to do great things. The problem was it was definitely picked by the administration for virtue signaling and social justice reasons, which is fine, I suppose, if the kids have the opportunity to understand the material and digest it. In this case, I literally watched on a Zoom call where they read this, and you can't tell me that the teacher didn't know this, because this is one of those edicts that goes out from the district, and we're going to talk about Ron's big mission, right? And she reads the story, and she asks the kids what the lessons are. Well, they had no idea. There were a couple of black kids on the Zoom. They had no idea. They didn't know that the point was to show, you know, how awful racial discrimination is, because they were just 5 years old, and you're throwing this stuff on these kids, and maybe, just maybe, you're making the situation worse. I talked about this in the aftermath of George Floyd. There was a great piece that was written by, well, in part, it was, damn it, what's her name? Howard Stern's sidekick, Robin Quivers. And there was another woman, and they teamed up, and they wrote this op-ed piece that was in, I don't think it was in the New York Times. It might have been the New York Post or something like that, which said, maybe the problem is we're emphasizing too much with these kids on race and just let them be kids. And I thought the lesson there was pretty appropriate. But in this case, kind of going back to what happened in D.C., Trump introduced this one little boy.
Also with us is 12-year-old Shay Encinas from California. Last year in fifth grade, Shay was forced to read a book to a kindergarten student promoting a message of radical gender ideology that is contrary to his religious beliefs and ours. I'd like to have Shay come up and tell the story. It's an amazing story. Shay, please come up.
Yeah, so this little kid goes up there and he really does a good job. Now, I would say you could take religion out of the mix here. It wouldn't matter. This would be a situation where if my daughter, who is in fifth grade, had to do something like this, religious aside, outrageous.
Thank you again, Mr. President. Hi, I'm Shay Encinas. I've been a Christian my whole life, and Jesus means everything to me. When I was in fifth grade, my school forced me to teach my kindergarten buddy about changing his gender using a book called My Shadow is Pink. The book said you can choose your gender based on feelings instead of how God made us. I knew this was not right, but I was afraid of getting in trouble. After my family spoke up, the school treated us badly, and kids started bullying me and my brother because of our faith. And the school did nothing to stop it. It hurt a lot, but I kept trusting God. I believe kids like me should be able to live our faith at school without being forced to go against what we believe. I hope no other family has to go through what mine did. Thank you.
So if you go online, the Scott Stewart is the guy who wrote this book, and the book is My Shadow is Pink, and it says it's a beautifully written, rhyming story that touches on the subjects of gender identity, self-acceptance, equality, and diversity when they're in kindergarten. Okay, again, take the religion out of it. Inappropriate. No matter what. I've often said about what happened in Ferguson is that if you go around to people here, let alone nationwide, but even here in the St. Louis area, and you ask them what happened, there would be a lot of people that would not be able to sort out the facts because they don't really know what the facts are. And part of the reason is because of the way that that whole thing took off in 2014. And I remember this. I remember watching Dorian Johnson. I tried to find this video. I think it's been taken down. But he, in the immediate aftermath of this shooting, he's the kid that's with Mike Brown. They, you know, steal the cigarillos from the convenience store. It's the middle of the day. It's like a little bit before noon. They're walking down the street. Darren Wilson rolls up on him. Then he realizes the call came in from the convenience store. Of course, Mike Brown pushes the guy in the convenience store. The shooting goes down. Dorian Johnson immediately goes to a friend's house and starts talking about how this was hands up, don't shoot. And he kept telling that story over and over and over again. You can still find it out there. You know, he's telling local media, and this is how he kind of painted the story.
The first car I see, I duck behind for cover because I fear for my life. I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand why this officer is shooting his weapon at us. And I'm looking, I'm watching the officer. He's pursuing my friend now that he fired another shot. It struck my friend in the back. Then my friend stopped running. His hands immediately went in the air and he turned around towards the officer face to face. He started to tell the officer that he was unarmed and
And I can stop it here because none of that is true. And it's just not. It's been proven that it's not true. But here's what's interesting is Dorian Johnson, 11 years after all this happened, was shot and killed himself yesterday. He's now 33, was 33 years old. This happened on Sunday morning at a block of apartments less than a mile from where Mike Brown died. James Knowles is with us this afternoon. He was mayor when all this happened in Ferguson 11 years ago. He has been on the roundtable panel recently. Hey, James, how are you? You were the one that alerted this to me yesterday and sent me the text, so you kind of broke the news to me.
Yeah, I was shocked. You know, our chief let me know this that this went down. I'd seen that there was a shooting in Ferguson and saw that there was somebody who was killed, but they didn't come out immediately and say who the person was. But I mean, it was shocking to me. And since then, the circumstances behind this that's come out, I think, is even more shocking. I think now it's public that it was a domestic issue that has turned out to be believed to be a self-defense where a young lady was shot him. She said that he was attacking her and shot him in self-defense. So it's been a crazy chain of events in the last few days.
That's kind of what I was hearing as well. But you probably would not disagree, and you remember this better than I, but what I remember is seeing that original video and then seeing the way that video, when he was making the claims about how the shooting went down that we now know were all false, they started taking off in the local media and they went really, really viral on Twitter. And that's how this thing, I mean, I think you would agree, we've probably talked about this, if social media wasn't what it was in 2014, this story does not get the gasoline that it got thrown on the fire. And it was Dorian Johnson who lit the match. He lit the match. I would make the case, and you can agree or disagree, that then the gasoline was poured on the whole situation by Antonio French, who was a member of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen, and the Post-Dispatch. And I put so much culpability on that team at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for reckless and irresponsible behavior, but they did it, and they were kind of complicit with Dorian in that story, and that's how that whole thing became a disaster for our area.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was so many people in the activist community who had been around for a long time who immediately flocked to this guy, and they swept him up, and they coached him. You know, there's another guy who was involved a lot, Anthony Shaheed. You might have saw him during the protest
with
his cop hat on and the dog chains. You know, he was always with Dorian. He was always coaching him on what to say. And, you know, there's a lot of people that will say that he was the one that coached him on the hands up, don't shoot, that he got shot in the back, you know, all of which we know was demonstrably false. The coroner's report showed that, you know, Michael Brown wasn't shot in the back, and, you know, complete lie about he was surrendering. So, you know, all of this was something that, you know, the media was there for ratings. You know, obviously the activist community was there to drum up something, you know, for their own purposes. And, you know, the community is obviously not better off for it. And to think of all the people who stood out in the spotlight and promoted themselves and left after the fact, you know, how many of these people left a better community behind them, none of them did. Yeah. I mean, that Canfield area is still struggling. You know, the area along West Florissant that they talked so much about trying to bring new developments, new growth, and you know, bring people in that impoverished part of the community, you know, to bring something to there. They've left them. But many people that were out there in the streets, you know, they've gone on to pad their wallets and their own successes. Antonio French especially is one of them. You know, I think he spent 5 minutes on CNN before he, I don't even know where he ended up going after all that.
I don't, probably a think tank. You know, he was working on a PhD at the time at Wash U.
Oh,
and look,
right.
Antonio was a smart guy. He, what's funny about that is he used to be on the roundtable up until that moment. That was when we had, and you know, I remember him talking the day after it happened or 2 days, I think it was, you know, the Monday after the QT burned. He essentially came on here and he made this case in the Post too, that, you know, it's worth it because of the injustices that have been committed on African Americans. So it's worth it to have buildings burned down. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he made it very clear at the time. And there were a lot of people, let's face it, James, that felt that way. And they didn't want to know the truth. They didn't really want to know the truth. I mean, Bob McCullough goes through the process of the grand jury. That was really completely unnecessary. But then when you finally, and I recommend this to people, I know you've done it. If you want some really good reading, and if you want to know what really happened that day, as close as you can get to the facts, there's two things that you can do. You can read Eric Holder's FBI report interviewing a lot more people than even went before the grand jury, because the grand jury had some people that didn't want to show up because they were afraid. And then you could also read the grand jury transcript and the testimony, and you will find that those stories lock together perfectly, that all of the lies that Dorian Johnson told were nowhere near the facts, because the evidence, the forensic evidence proves him wrong. Just even on the, you know, the hands up, et cetera, there's no doubt. And, you know, even one time in the FBI report that Brown, it says, made some type of movement similar to pulling his pants up or a shoulder shrug and then charged at Wilson. That was what Dorian was trying to say. It was then that Wilson fired 5 or 6 shots at Brown. So apparently Brown charged at Wilson again and again. He fired 3 or 4 rounds until Brown collapsed. He didn't fire right away. He fired after he was coming at him, and the forensic evidence is very clear on that.
Well, people called me yesterday immediately and said they thought that Dorian was probably killed because for retaliation. Because if you, like you said, even if you look at the grand jury report and other things that came out later, what he said privately to investigators was different than he said publicly.
Yes.
And so, and some people knew that. And so there was a question immediately after this became public. Some people said, do you think that eventually somebody got to him? And I said, I don't know. But
yeah,
it came out pretty quickly that it was a domestic issue. But
well, there were also, I mean, outside of those rumors, there were rumors that the cops shot him. I mean, that was one of the things that, you know, took off yesterday as well.
The first thing that people want to do. Yeah. The first thing people want to do is try to incite more, you know, violence or more anger because they have nothing to hold on to anymore. The movement that they tried to start out of Ferguson years ago, you know, has accomplished nothing in North County. Unfortunately, it's really kind of taken that whole area backwards. And there's a lot of people still hanging on to, like you said, the lie, and they would love to try to revive that somehow. And, you know, obviously that's not the case here. This is a tragic situation here. Obviously, this guy didn't get his life together after what happened 11 years ago.
It's sad, right?
And
I mean,
now he lost his life in this terrible incident.
Yeah, and too many, unfortunately, too many other victims like that, that circumstances haven't changed in the last 11 years. James, always great to have you on. I really appreciate it. Thank you for sharing the news with me yesterday. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, take care. It really, you know, I've done this several times, and I always go back to the FBI report in particular, because it really is so well done. Again, this was Eric Holder's FBI report that, you know, went down the line. They interviewed hundreds of witnesses. Dorian is identified as he's witness 101, I think. And, you know, they took his testimony, the story that he was telling the media. But then when you match it up with the other witnesses, and when you match it up with the, you know, the scientific evidence, there's no evidence to disprove Darren Wilson's account of what occurred in the SUV. There were some witnesses, and this is in the FBI report, that claimed Brown's arms were never inside the SUV. However, as discussed later in this report, those witness accounts could not be relied upon in prosecution because credible witness accounts and physical and forensic evidence. So they had Mike Brown's DNA inside the SUV and on Wilson's shirt collar. And the bullet trajectory and the close range to his hand established that he was, his hands and his arms were inside the SUV. The evidence then showed that, you know, Mike Brown ran eastbound on Canfield. Wilson chased after him. The results confirmed that Wilson did not shoot Brown in the back as he was running away because there were no entrance wounds to Brown's back. The autopsy results alone do not indicate the direction Brown was facing when he received two wounds, given the mobility of the arm. However, as detailed later in this report, there are no witness accounts that could be relied upon in prosecution to prove that Wilson shot at Brown as he was running away. Witnesses who say so cannot be relied upon in prosecution because they've given accounts that are inconsistent with the physical and forensic evidence or are significantly insignificant with their own prior statements made through the investigation. And I don't think I have this in front of me right now, and I can't remember what witness number it was, but there was one witness who was an African-American guy. He was a little older. He would not go before the grand jury, refused to go before the grand jury, but he's quoted, I'm going to paraphrase here just a little bit, he's quoted in the FBI report saying, "I would have shot that black boy too." African-American dude who saw one of the, maybe he might be one of the only, if not the only, specific eyewitness to what happened. And again, he didn't even testify before.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
The grand jury. All right, just a couple minutes left. We got to do this here before we, I'm heading over to see Lara Trump at this pro-life event tonight.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Drew Feltwell is the name of the father from Philadelphia who was at the game in Miami against the Marlins. The Phillies and the Miami Marlins at Lone Depot Park in Miami. There's a foul ball that is, actually, I'm sorry, it's a home run ball by Harrison Bader, former Cardinal. And this woman kind of, after there's a scrum for the ball, there's this older woman with gray hair that comes over and tries to get the ball back. So she's saying, she's yelling, you took it from me. He took it and gives it to his son. Finally, he gives up, throws his arms up, gives the ball back.
I'm glad you heard that.
And this is what he said today about it.
I wasn't very happy that we had to give it to her, but we can't win. She was going to get it anyways.
Sure.
She wasn't going to take it, but I decided to give her the ball. I apologize to you, but it was the right thing. We just wanted her to go away, and it worked out. You got a bat.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, Harrison Bader gave him a bat, a couple other things.
Dad, do you have any regrets giving the ball back?
Yeah, like I said, that was what we were there for. We were there to get a home run ball. So I thought I had accomplished this great thing, and putting in his glove meant a lot, and she was just so adamant and loud and yelling and persistent, and I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. You know, there was hundreds of people, you know, just staring, and like I said, she was very, very, very close, and I'm dad of the family, so I didn't want to do something I'd regret, and that was the choice I made, is to just hand the ball back and tell her, go away.
So Blowout Cards, which is a major trading card retailer, announced today that it will pay the woman who ended up with the ball $5,000 if she hands it over with her autograph and inscribes, I'm sorry, on it. And the company said it will give the ball back to the kid. No offer that has been accepted yet. We'll certainly keep you posted on that.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.